Good evening. So this year, the very smart ladies of the Women's Council chose for our theme this year, Power for Purpose, from Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Power for Purpose was chosen as our theme because the Lord uses his power through us for his purposes. So today, we will take a look at our holy part of God's plan in the book of Jude. Now, I come from a church tradition, an African American Baptist church, that had a lot of call and response. So if you feel inclined to say amen, don't hesitate. And also in our tradition, when we would say the title of the message, it was a big deal. So when I say the title of the message, I also need an amen. So this morning, the title of our message is A Kept Woman. So let's look at Jude 1 and 2. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. This little book of James reminds us of how we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. It tells us that we are called, we are loved, and we are kept by God. Jude is found in the New Testament. It's only one chapter long, 25 verses. It was written as a letter from Jude, one of Jesus' brothers, and also a Jesus follower, to an unspecified church community. So it's written to believers, people who already follow Christ. And it's written to charge this particular group of people to persevere in their faith in the midst of false teachers. But within this short book, we see reminders of who we are in Christ. We are called by God, loved by God, and kept by God. So if we are these things in God, we must first know who God is. Verse 1 calls him Father. Verse 1 also says he is the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one that would free us from our bondage of sin, our rescuer. The last verses of Jude gives us more. Verses 24 and 25 read, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. He is our Creator, our Rescuer, our Savior. He has all glory, majesty, power, and authority. Yet, this powerful, majestic Creator calls us, loves us, and keeps us. The book of Jude was written to Messianic Jews, meaning people who were Jewish by heritage but follow Christ, the Messiah. Their ancestors were called by God back in Genesis, in Abraham's time. Even though sin had disrupted the world, God made the decision to reach back into humanity and specifically save people for himself, to be an example to other people of who he is and his great love for us. The Jews were called. You are called. I was called. So I was born into a family that had a legacy of Christ, of following Christ. My grandparents and my parents followed Christ. But at the time that I came along, my parents were kind of new in their faith, so they were really zealous for the Lord. So have you ever been around people who have just become believers and they're really zealous and they're super Christians and they want to do all the things? So that's how that's how my parents were by the time I came along. So we would go to the early service, Sunday school, regular service. We'd go to Tuesday night Bible study, Thursday night prayer meeting. Saturday mornings, we went to the usher board to practice for that. And these were in the days where you had to wear dresses and stockings. We wore gloves when we ushered. We went to VBS, Fall Festival. We had week-long revivals. If the pastor was preaching at another church, we would go there. If the choir was singing at another church, we would go there. So every time the doors of the church were open, we were there. And if the doors weren't open, my dad had a key. So in the midst of all this tradition, I learned somewhere along the way that Jesus loves me and that he wanted me to be a part of his kingdom. So as in our tradition, we had an altar call at the end of service. So when I was about 7 years old, after the altar call, I went up front and asked Jesus to be in my life. So I was called, but I wasn't called because my parents were super Christians, and I wasn't called because my church attendance was impeccable. I was called because the Lord, our Savior, our Creator, wants us all to commune with him. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." All of you were called also, called into his holy family. But all of our calling stories look different. So you may be an artist, and you've seen his wondrous works, and something in your soul felt him calling out to you. Or maybe you were looking for a husband, but Jesus said, "I'm the better husband," and so you heeded his call. Or maybe you were desolate and alone, and you called out to him, and he answered, because really, he was already calling you. So all of our stories may look different, but you are all called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, "He called you that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are called, we are loved, we are kept. So we are loved. We talked about how the people that Jude was writing to are Messianic Jews. Their ancestry is God's chosen people, and God loved them. He promised Abraham that he would have many descendants, and he would make him into a great nation. And he would give them land that would eventually become Israel. And he loved them so much that he said he would bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. So you see, God's love poured out so much that even if somebody blesses his people, those somebodies will be blessed. And if somebody curses his people, they will feel the wrath of God because he loves his people so much. Jude 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." God loves his people. I knew that the Lord loved me because we would sing the same 3 songs in Sunday school every single Sunday. The deacon would come up and he would open the hymnal and turn through the pages as if he was searching for songs, which is unnecessary because you know he's going to sing the same 3 songs every Sunday. The songs would be, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," "Love Lifted Me," and "Blessed Assurance." So the chorus part to "Oh, How I Love Jesus," "Oh, How I Love Jesus," "Oh, How I Love Jesus," "Oh, How I Love Jesus, because he first loved me." And the chorus to "Love Lifted Me," "Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me." And the last verse of "Blessed Assurance," "Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love." Such sweet words. We are loved, dear sisters. And that's an absolute. So that means whether you feel it or not, whether you choose to believe it or not, you are loved. Ephesians 2:4-7 reads, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Jesus Christ." Now that's a love story right there. Dear sister, you are loved. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, please talk to your table host or someone in the council, or talk to me tonight, because we want you to know that there is a Savior who loves you. We are called, we are loved, we are kept. Jude is writing to this group, this church of Messianic Jews, and he addresses them in verse 1 by saying, "Those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ." Someone say kept. So kept, the Hebrew in this case means maintained, positioned, cannot be moved, cannot be taken. So if you've journeyed through the Bible, you may have read about the Hebrews, the Jews, and the Israelites, and you'll find that even though they're called and loved by God, because of sin, some things have happened to them. They've been defeated, they've been divided, they've even been displaced, but they've never been destroyed. Because throughout all this turmoil, God always keeps a remnant. And what that means is he protected a portion of his family so that their legacy, really his legacy, would continue. He keeps his people. He maintains them. He positions them. Someone say kept. Yes. I want kept to become your new favorite word. Because it's used several times in the New Testament in favor of the saints. The word kept is used in the book of Acts with Peter. He's a disciple of Jesus, and he was in prison, but the Lord kept him. And the same word kept is used for the Apostle Paul when he was in Caesarea. So for both Peter and Paul, the Lord keeps them, protects them, holds them in position until the Lord's purposes are fulfilled. He maintains, protects, positions. He keeps his people. So when I was 13, I first felt the call to ministry. It seemed to me that if the Great Commission was true, why not do it full-time? But in the world that I lived in, there really wasn't any full-time jobs, full-time positions for women in ministry, so I kind of abandoned that notion. But the Lord kept me. So I journeyed through college, and I majored in business, and I attended the Mount Zion College Ministry here in Greensboro, where me and my now husband, Brian, met Will Dungey, and he married us. So then years later, we moved back to Greensboro, and we saw that Will was preaching here at Grace. So we came to Grace, and we stayed. And eventually, I needed a job after I was homeschooling my children for a while. And so I landed here on the support staff. After working at Sedalia for a little while, I landed here on the support staff. The Lord maintained me. And then one day, he opened up a position on the pastoral staff. And then he reignited this call that he gave me a long time ago when I was 13. The Lord positioned me. So he kept me, he maintained me, he positioned me so that I could be here today through his power to fulfill his purposes. I am a kept woman. And dear sisters, you are kept women. Someone say kept. But what has he kept you for? What has he maintained you for? Where has he positioned you? So maybe you're at a very difficult and challenging job, but he's keeping you there so that you could be a light to your coworker. Or maybe you made some difficult choices in your youth, and God kept you through that so that now you can minister to youth and to college students. Or maybe you're going through some struggles right now, and the Lord is keeping you in those struggles so that you can walk beside another sister who is struggling too. The Lord is keeping you. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." You have a purpose, and he has kept you here to carry it out. And you don't even have to be anxious about carrying it out because he's going to use his power and his strength to do it. Because you are kept by his power, kept by his majesty, kept by the creator of the universe. You are called, you are loved, you are kept. So then, how should you live as a kept woman? Well, Jude gives us two big instructions. Love God, love others. The first instruction, love God, is found in Jude verse 21. "Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." So until the Lord brings you home, you must persevere here on this earth. You must live this peculiar life of loving the Lord, staying in his word, and worshiping in community with your brothers and sisters. Love God. The second instruction, love others, is in Jude 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. So we must show our love to others who are in Christ by being merciful to others. Because not everyone you interact with is as mature in their faith as you are in yours. Some are struggling in their faith. Some have different theology than you do. If you're at a church like here at Grace, where we have people from different backgrounds and different traditions, it can be a struggle to do that. But we are called to be merciful to one another, to stand beside each other, and to worship together. We're called to love one another. And verse 23 says that when we are merciful, we save others from the fire. So love others. The Lord is using you, a kept woman, for his purposes. Your holy part is to love God and love others. You are called, you are loved, and you are kept. So in my tradition in the Old Baptist Church, we would always end in a benediction. And this little book of Jude has one of the sweetest ones, probably my favorite. So I'll give this blessing to you as I leave. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Let the church say,
amen.
Thank you.